I found myself in the emergency room recently. Don't worry. Turned out I was exactly where I needed to be, and I was completely fine. I just needed to verify that a few feelings I was having were minor and not serious. I came out with a clean bill of health, but with the actual crisis part of it quickly stripped away, I had an opportunity for a calm recollection of how much emergency rooms have changed and how fascinating the entire procedure has become. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I was able to drive myself to the emergency room, which is already a sign that things weren't entirely too serious. I just felt a bit of tingling and a little bit of tightness in my shoulders, and unfortunately, with a cardiac history, you have to have it checked out. In this case, at 3 a.m. What pushed me over the edge to doing this was the fact that I was having trouble going to sleep. This could have been partially a panic attack. Maybe it was the nervousness of the unknown. But regardless, I drove myself to my favorite emergency room. They've always been incredibly good with me. They've made me feel welcome, not a bother, which is more than some emergency rooms, and they quickly know how to prioritize somebody and get them out of the way, which means you always have people ready to go when you show up. I walked in, and they had a triage nurse who gives you a quick evaluation, and when I explained the magic words tingling in my left arm, she immediately had me on a cot right in the lobby and getting an EKG. The fact that she picked up this EKG in just a few minutes while also checking my blood oxygen and my blood pressure told me I was going to be looked at really closely. She called and alerted some of the on-call doctors in the emergency room that I would be coming in. After verifying my personal information and looking through their records of me, verifying my medications, she had me walk into the emergency room and have me lie down in one of the more familiar cots. What happens when they suspect a heart attack might be happening is to check your EKG, check you, and then take 2 blood tests. These 2 blood tests check a hormone that your heart releases when it's under stress. And what they're looking for is a heart that is releasing more and more of this hormone, and it might be an indication of the need for a stent or other kinds of surgery. One of the ways that everybody verifies you are who you are and they are treating the person they think they are treating is to ask you your name and your birth date. Everybody did that, so I won't mention it again. I have what would be called the exact opposite of white coat syndrome. When I'm in an emergency room, I feel incredibly well taken care of. The difference between seeing your house is on fire and seeing your house with a fire truck parked in front of it, putting the fire out. I am happy to be in an emergency room. People can react, they can make assessments, and I am right there. They took multiple vials of my blood to begin a whole range of tests, a somewhat unpleasant Q-tip went into my nose, and they had me do a urine test. Then I lay there. Eventually, somebody showed up with an X-ray machine. Gone in this hospital are the days when they would put you on a gurney, send you through different floors, and then talk to somebody while they gently put you into a quiet but dark room to take your X-rays. Now the X-ray machine is a little bit bigger than a mini fridge with an arm. They have me sit up in my cot, put this panel behind me, and then take a photo. Off he went. It wasn't more than maybe 3 minutes of my time, and a digital X-ray was already in my record. After that, a doctor came in, and we talked about the plan. The plan in this case was either it was something with my heart or I was having some other reaction. But trying to track what that other reaction was would be exploratory at best and costly. And in the American healthcare system, cost is your biggest fear. So she and I agreed. Having two tests about an hour apart from each other allowed her to be able to judge that it wasn't my heart, it wasn't a heart attack, and I could go home and figure out what it might be. As she left telling me this, my phone went off, letting me know that I had email, and the email was from a health app that I had forgotten I had signed into some time previous. It was the official health app of this hospital, and it was letting me know that I had been checked in, that I had been evaluated, and that my blood results were ready. While sitting there, I was able to go through all of my numbers, and because this app had my previous visits, I, myself, could see where my levels were, which were good results, bad results, what had really changed in the last few visits, and be able to tell me, without worry, what was going on. All of my results looked normal. My heart hormone was at a certain level, but it had been at that level before. Already, I had information, facts, intelligence. I could learn about myself, see if any other numbers were off. And only one was. My blood sugar was through the roof. It had been 91 before, and it was 149 now. Something was wrong. And so I had something to talk about with the doctor when she came back. When I brought that up, she looked at me and said, "Have you eaten recently?" And yes, I'd grabbed a snack before I had driven to the hospital so that I wouldn't feel hungry while everything was going on. And she said, "Well, that's your blood sugar." She had come back with the results of the second test, and the second test focused only on the hormone that my heart had put out. Everything looked good. And so ultimately, she discharged me. Total time in the emergency room, maybe 3.5 hours. Most of it just spent lying there or browsing my phone. And I went home. I arrived home about 7 a.m, and I went to sleep, where I could know instantly everything that had gone on that day. The chest x-rays report was in the app. The results of not just my blood tests, but the COVID and infectious disease tests I'd had gave me a full, clear bill of health. What I didn't know was what was wrong. What exactly was wrong with me? Maybe it was muscle strain. I'd been lifting a bunch of boxes recently. Maybe it was an allergic reaction to a new food I was trying, or been somewhere that was making me feel not so great. Regardless, I was connected in this modern era to every aspect of my medical condition, and I was able to find out where I stood on a wide variety of potential problems. At my age, everything is a potential. Is this going to get better, or is this how it is now? That kind of information, which I can specifically remember taking hours or days to get back to me, is now instant. As soon as the lab reports it, as soon as they tell the doctor, I know as well. This is incredibly meaningful to me. I've discovered that it turns out I want more information. I want to know everything that's going on in my body. This is a vehicle I'm going to have for a while longer, and I want to know if there's ways to improve it, to make it run better, to avoid causing it unnecessary damage or strain, and yet try to enjoy life to the fullest using it. The use of an emergency room to do it may not strike everyone as the best idea, and really honestly, I really wish I didn't have to. But for those moments, late at night, when I'm sitting or lying down and feeling not quite right. A little bit of ease comes from knowing that somewhere nearby there is a nexus of technology, of competency and options, presented with a remarkable amount of transparency that allows me to know whether or not this very joyful ride is going to go on a little bit farther. This is Jason Scott, Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekwayanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Sembiance, Benjamin Guts, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The remaining question is how much this is all going to cost me. I was only in the emergency room for about 3 hours. I was seen by one doctor, I had an x-ray, and I had two sets of blood tests. Not sure what that's going to work out to. It's probably going to be four figures. These kind of situations are something that I really am considering supplemental insurance for, to be able to be looked at a few times a year under this condition. We'll see how that goes. But it's a good example of how fast things change financially. You pay off a debt, a new one arises. You feel a little strange, and 2 days later, you owe $10,000. That's the unfortunate aspect of healthcare and having a body that is doing things that you're not quite sure are good or bad. It's something I have to build up savings for, to be able to work against, to deal with. And honestly, being able to leave a place, having such information about myself and such peace of mind, I would say you can't put a price on it. But clearly, somebody is going to.